Do want to greet you in Christ's name this morning. We're met to worship. To worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Holy One of Israel, the One who is our guide, the One who is our shepherd, as we just heard, the One who will give us strength for another day. Glad to see those back that have been gone, and visitors here as well. One of the younger children, tell me what today is. What is today? One of the preschools, you know? What is today? Well, maybe we'll have to go to one of the school children. What is today? One of your boys.
New Year's.
What does that mean? That means we have to start writing another date, different date, don't we? We have to write a 7 instead of a 6. I got 7 questions. And then I have 7 references from the book of Proverbs. And then I have 7 references from the New Testament, which I didn't bring with me because I realized that I wasn't going to get that far anyway. So that'll have to be later. 7 questions that I don't have answers for. And we're not going to look at answers for them. Just some things to cause us to think about starting another year. And then the message this morning is the fear of the Lord is. And that's where my title stops. The fear of the Lord is. I have been reading through Proverbs. And I started noticing that statement. And it kind of got a hold of me. The fear of the Lord is, and then it explains what it is. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. We sometimes think of fear as being something that we're afraid of. We want to stay away from it. It's going to hurt us. It's going to cause some harm of some sort. But this fear is not that. This is a different kind of fear. Well, the questions. What is important to us? What's the most important thing in our lives? Or what is the next to the most important thing? Or the third to the most important thing? What is important to us as we look into the next year? What is there that we really want to put our emphasis on or our energies into? What are we desiring to accomplish in another year? What do we want to do? What do we want to happen in our lives? Or what do we want to help someone else to accomplish? Where do we want to go with our lives? Where do we want to go? And today, there's probably thousands of people who are making New Year's resolutions. Some of them will have them all listed out. This is what I'm going to change in my life this year. Statistics tell us that within 2 weeks, they're all in the trash can, or most of them are. They've been forgotten. They've been rejected. We can't do it. We're just going to go on the way we've been. What do we want? Where do we want to go with our lives? We can make a decision, and we can hang on to that because we have power from God to do that. What do we want to change in our lives. Is there anything that we want to change? You want to change an occupation? In the next year, some of your school students want to make a change to the next grade or maybe out of school completely. What do we want to change in our lives? Is there anything? There will be things that we will change. Sometimes we make changes that we can't really control. Some may be moving within the next year. Big changes in their lives. There may be quite a bit less people in church a year from now than there is now. It would be a big change for those of us who stay here. What do we want to do with the money we make? What do we want to do? What do I want to do? Do I want to buy a house? Do I want to buy a vehicle? Do I want to buy what? What do I want to do with the money that I make in the next year? Do I want to give it away? Do I want to share it with others? What do I want to do with that? Who are we going to serve? God or Satan? That is a choice that we each need to make daily, not once a year, not once in a lifetime. Who are we going to serve today? Who are we going to serve throughout this year? God or Satan? And the next question, the last question, is similar to that. Who are we going to serve, others or myself? Am I going to give myself to the service of other people, or am I going to just hoard myself up to me and do what I want to do, be what I want to be? Okay, that's some questions as we look into the next year and we think about this coming year. As we think about that, we realize that we are people on this earth. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, for the youth and adults at least, was talking about us being as sheep among wolves. Now, we've heard more about wolves in the last few years than what most of us have in our lifetime. Because before I was born, wolves were pretty well annihilated from the United States. And now they're coming back, and the largest concentration of wolves other than Yellowstone Park, a few places like that, is right here around us. And so we hear about these. I have been getting a news magazine, and I'm not sure why I started getting it. Somebody must have subscribed to it for the church, and it came in our address. And there was a big article in there about the wolves in this area right here and the last issue, which will be the last issue I get. And this is a nationwide magazine, maybe even more than that, I'm not sure. So we're pretty important, we're pretty popular because of the wolves right here. Well, not very many people around here feel very popular because of wolves. But anyway, we are sent as sheep among the wolves. Alan mentioned the word fear. Kevin mentioned the word fear in our Sunday school this morning, and I think maybe there was a couple other people that mentioned that word fear. We're going to be looking at fear. Fear, in all of the references we're looking at this morning, have the thought of reverence. The word dreadful could also be put in here. Exceeding fear. As we look, as we live our lives for God, there is a fear of God, to God, that is not a fear that we want to stay away from. But it is a awe of his greatness. As we stand before him and look into his face, and we see him in his glory, that is the fear that we have of God. There are many people who are today watching, I suppose it's basketball this time of the year is the main sport, and they see this person make one point after another or one score after another, and they just really sometimes it gets all wrapped up in that person, and they revere that person. They about make that person a god. But that is the way we look at God, because he is God. A reverence. Reverence, like I mentioned, every time in the scriptures that we're looking at, and most of the Bible, when it is referring to God and you see that word fear, it is a reverence, an awe before God. In this definition that Strong's Concordance number 3374 gives the word dreadful as part of that fear of God. Dreadful. It's fearful, terrible, awe-inspiring, very unpleasant is some of the words that could be used there for this word reverence. Awe-inspiring. It's what I'd like to think about this morning. As we look at God, it just puts an awe to us. God. And one of the seven references I had, or a couple of them, were from Revelation. And we'll look at that maybe next time the Lord continues to direct. As John was looking at this, was in this vision, and he saw the throne. And he saw God. I can just about in my mind see John standing there just looking at the greatness of God with his mouth open, his eyes as big as saucers, and his heart just pounding because of he was in the very presence of the Almighty God. Another word that it uses here is exceedingly or exceedingly fearful. More than others. Unusual or extremely. Now when John was standing there in that vision and he saw God, do you think it was all just awe? No, I think there was some fear as well, that was causing his heart to beat like it was, like I imagine it was anyway. And there was not only just a reverence, but a fear that also stood out there. And as we see God, and then we look at ourselves, and we see how far we are short of what God is, how much we lack of what God has and can provide, it brings a timidness and maybe a little fear into our lives. Right, we want to look at these seven references that it talks about here in Revelation that begins with the fear of the Lord is. The first one is in chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We cannot have knowledge, real knowledge, unless we see God. Unless we brush shoulders with God. Or unless we get closer than that and become His friend and know Him and walk with Him and live with Him and serve Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. Now, your school children go to school every day, and you go there, I hope anyway, with the purpose of learning. The first graders can now read. And that is a great big achievement. Knowledge is coming into them to where they can understand some of these things. 10th graders are still learning. There's still things there. Their knowledge is growing. Now, if we do not have God in our life, our knowledge is only going to take us until the day of death. That's as far as it can go. But with God, that knowledge can take us right on into eternity. And I suppose maybe there is a sense where hell, there is still a knowledge. As we understand, a person can remember the things that they did, the things that the opportunities they've had. Rich man in Lazarus there, he asked Abraham to send someone to his brethren and show them, because he didn't want them to go to that place. And so there's a certain amount of knowledge there. But with God, this knowledge is pure, it's perfect, it's holy, and it's right. The last half of that verse then says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." If we don't want to get wise, if we don't want to be taught, what does it call us? A fool. If we don't want to, accomplish anything with the things that people are trying to teach us, our parents are trying to teach us, our teachers are trying to teach us, we just say that's worthless. We're a fool. Because there isn't anything in this life that we can learn that doesn't have value. There's always valuable things there. Now let's go to chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So this is another definition of that thought of the fear of the Lord. We will hate evil. If we are reverencing God, if we are looking into His face and desiring Him to lead us every step of the way, we're going to hate evil. Any evil thing is not going to be something we're going to love and desire to go after. What's evil? What are evil things? I'm not going to list all the evil things that we can get involved in life today. But we know that there are lots and lots of things that Satan wants to put in our path, that he wants to trip us up with and cause us to fall away from God. Wants us to forget about our reverence and desire for God. Now, there's just a couple of things listed here in the rest of this verse. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. God says, I hate those things. He will hate them. And if he hates them, we must hate them if we are going to be walking with him. So pride. Who here does not have problem with pride? Raise your hand. We all have problem with pride, don't we? We think pretty well of this person. We think, well, yeah, I can do this and I can do this and I can accomplish this and yeah, this is me. But where did we get that knowledge? Where did we get that understanding to be able to do these things? I was talking to a man, oh, it's been a couple months ago now, about a machine that we had him quote. And he didn't like what our customer wanted to do with it. And I told him, well, I don't either, and it's not going to work. But, you know, what can we say about it? This is what they specified. He said, well, we want to put out something that we're proud of. Well, that's fine. I told him, well, we want a piece of equipment. When it goes out, we want to know that it's going to work. But in this case, it's not going to work the way they want it to. And I've told him that. But we aren't proud of what we accomplish, because God hates pride. Arrogancy. How many enjoy being around somebody that's always arrogant? You know, they just talk about themselves and all the things that they can accomplish, and it doesn't matter where the conversation goes, it always comes back to that person. We don't enjoy being around a person like that, do we? No. God doesn't either. Evil way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not living in evilness, an evil way, an evil eye. Having a desire for things that are evil. Drugs, alcohol. We can go on and list a whole bunch of things that we don't want to be involved in. Do you know that life expectancy is less this year than it was in the beginning of 2015? It has been, life expectancy has been climbing in years ever since World War II. And now it's going the other direction. The article I read that gave that statistic said there's two things in particular that's causing it. One is drugs, and the other is teenage suicides. Overdosing in drugs and teenage suicide has taken the life expectancy down, and I don't remember what it was, 2 weeks or something like that. That's the average of what people live. There's things like that that God hates, that he doesn't want his people to be involved in. When we hate evil, we will not enjoy it. And I've got two things written down. Romance novels. If we're serving God, we're not going to feast our mind on that kind of trash. It will follow a person through their whole life. It does affect marriages if we think about romance novels and reading those things. It is a world of itself, and that world is outside of God. The other one that I wrote down is war stories. One time, I overheard a conversation with, I'm not exactly sure how many brethren from our churches, talking about a book that they had all read about, I think it was the Civil War. And they were going into it in detail, how this book described all of these things that went on. Now, these were all non-resistant people who would say that they would go to prison instead of going to the army. And I talked to one of them later about that book, and I told him, I really felt bad about you discussing that book the way you were when there was non-Christians, especially there among them. And we're witnessing to them. We want them to become Christians, but we're talking about the things that they're involved in. He says, yes. He said, I felt bad about that. I only read that one book. I've never read another war book, and I never will. But he said, I really felt condemned for doing that. God hates evil. Now let's go to the next one, the third one in chapter 9 and verse 10. This takes the word knowledge to another step. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge is the fact that I know this. I know your name. I know how to get home. I know that it's snowing outside. I know the roads were pretty treacherous to come to church this morning. I know those facts. But wisdom is more than that. Wisdom tells us when we're on those roads this morning, we didn't drive 60 miles an hour. About 40, 45 was about as fast as I was going, and there was nobody came up very fast behind me. In fact, I didn't know that anybody was gaining on me until I turned off a bulldog and TJ is right behind me. Not too far behind anyway. But so that is wisdom, that we realize that if we're going to stay on the road, we've got to drive according to the conditions. The other day I went to Spokane, and down here the other side by the state garage, I come around the corner, I see flashing lights up there. And I get a little closer, and here's a pickup sitting on its top over in the ditch. I couldn't really see any reason for it to be there. It wasn't slick. But apparently he sneaked over a little too far and hit the snowbank, and it just flipped him. I don't know. But apparently he wasn't driving according to the conditions. He wasn't using the wisdom that he supposedly learned in driver safety, in driver's ed. That's just a very, very little simple experience or thought about wisdom. Wisdom goes much, much bigger than that. When we have wisdom, we have this book. We have God. We have Christ. Chapter 9, chapters 8 and 9 of Proverbs here talk very, very much about wisdom. Wisdom is God. And I want to read some of that this morning. Verses 22 to 31. The blessing of the Lord. Make sure I'm in the right place. I'm not. Chapter 8, 22 to 31. Chapter 8. This is wisdom talking. As if wisdom were a person. He's using the personal pronoun I numerous times in here. And so, is wisdom a person? We'll talk about that a little bit, but keep that in mind as we read this. Is wisdom a person? Verse 22, the Lord possesseth me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up. From everlasting, from the beginning of, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding in the with water, behold, the mountains were settled. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whose finding the way of, whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth after me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Is wisdom a person? What do you think? Wisdom as we know it is not a person. Wisdom as we know it is, I don't know how to describe wisdom. Wisdom and God cannot be separated. Is this Jesus talking? Is it God speaking? I don't believe it was God. It may. I don't believe we can separate wisdom from Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Godhead, they are one. We can only get wisdom from God. Satan has knowledge, but he does not have wisdom. Because wisdom is a part of God. Do we want wisdom? Yes. Can we get wisdom? Yes. Do your school teachers, students, teach you wisdom? No. They cannot. Can I teach you wisdom? No. But we can all get wisdom. But we need to get it from God. We can teach knowledge. We can teach everything up to it. I believe, but I don't believe we can teach wisdom. Let's go to the fourth one in chapter 10. Not all of them are going to be able to take this long. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I said that life expectancy in the United States is dropping. This doesn't come from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord gives health. The fear of the Lord makes it so that our lives are more profitable. It is often the things of Satan that causes people to lose out in their lives, shorten their days. But as we fear God, our lives are lengthened. There's a lot in the news and things about longevity of life today. Seems to be very important to live longer. There are a lot of things that we can do when we get a disease like cancer or Parkinson's disease to cause us to be able to live a little longer. You might ask the doctor if you have cancer, you say, well, how much longer will it make me live if I take chemotherapy? Oh, maybe a year. Is it worth it? Is it worth all of that effort and all of that misery and all of that expense to keep us out of heaven? That is what one lady told her doctor. And my wife quoted her when she had cancer. Is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. We're here to die and go to heaven. So is longevity of life, is it valuable? Only if God wants us to be here to help other people, to help serve them. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. When we know God and He is guiding us, then we can also understand Him. Let's go to chapter 14. And verse 26. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. What does that mean? I mean, that's what I thought. What does it mean? What is he talking about? The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. So I look up this word confidence. And it's a refuge, a security, an assurance, a trust, and a hope. The fear of the Lord is our refuge. The fear of the Lord is our security. Not our checkbook. Not our life insurance policy. Oh yes, we'll get letters. Got a letter the other day wanting to give us life insurance. It is our assurance. We can know God, and we can know that when we take our last breath, we're going to heaven. Because we're trusting in Him and have our hope beyond the grave. Our longing, our desire is there. Now the last half of that verse says, and His children shall have a place of refuge. And so if parents, those of you who have children at home, most of you do, you have this confidence that the fear of the Lord brings. It is a security, it is a refuge for these little ones. And it is pointing them to something beyond this life. Now let's go to the next verse. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Wisdom said that it was before the fountains were brought forth. A fountain is always giving to help others. Ever think of that? You have a spring. You have a, a drinking fountain? Does it ever take that water back into itself to use? No. It either is there for someone to drink, or it goes out and goes out wherever it goes. A fountain is there to help plants, animals, and people. You see the irrigation going on the field? It's there to help the plants. Like I said, you go to the drinking fountain, it's there to help people. You see the cows go down to the slough or down to the creek to get a drink. It's, that fountain is there to help. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. When we have the fear of the Lord, we are here to help others to walk with God. Spiritually, people will die if we do not produce the water of life for them. If we are not showing them, teaching them the way of eternal life, people will die spiritually. The last one, chapter 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So we're right back where we started from again. And I found that quite interesting. That Solomon took us in a circle and brings us back to understand that God's fear is the instruction of wisdom. It takes us right back to that thought of knowledge. It is the teaching of God that takes us from today on through life. How can we teach wisdom? How can we teach knowledge? By humility. Realizing that we don't have it all, but God does. The fear of the Lord is here for us. We can fear Him, or we can fear ourselves, or we can fear something else. But what one is valuable? Which one will take us through life to heaven to point us to the eternal one? Shall we pray?